On Good Friday, we had a reading from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12. It is a reading that is read every Good Friday, and it's the fourth of four suffering servant songs. And I mentioned a little bit of this on Good Friday, that it's a passage that's very familiar to us, and I know that you didn't hear it this morning, where people who are here on Good Friday heard it, so I could specifically target some of those passages that were very familiar. But part of what is so familiar to us in that fourth suffering servant song is, I'm paraphrasing it a bit, but it's a fact that it talks about this suffering servant who was basically beaten so bad that he no longer even looked like a human being. And he seemed to be someone who was smitten by God and not esteemed. And yet, this servant was one who would take upon himself all of our iniquities, all of our sinfulness. This servant would be the one who would carry our sorrows and our griefs. This servant would be the one that, by the giving of his life, our lives would be ransomed. And by his stripes, we are healed. And that's a passage that Peter will repeat in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, about by his stripes we are healed. And what I had said on Good Friday was, we're part of a communion that really values the prophetic. We put a high value on the prophetic word. And the fact that this was a prophetic word that Isaiah received, but he received it 730-some years before it was fulfilled. Because remember, the word goes forth from the Lord, accomplishing the will for which it has been sent, not to return to him void. And so when we think about the words that the Lord has spoken and the promises that he has made, and they're all yes and amen, that every one of them will be fulfilled. And sometimes we can look at our world and the things that we're going through, and in particular with what's going on right now, and we can think, where is the Lord's promise to us? And we have to recall, even as we look at the other readings that we have for today, we can look at this passage from Acts chapter 10 about the story of Cornelius. And even though Cornelius wasn't mentioned, all you hear is part of Peter's speech. But Acts chapter 10 is about Cornelius, a centurion, a Roman, who apparently somewhere along the line had begun to have a breakthrough in believing in Yahweh, the God of the Jews. And so he was in prayer and fasting when an angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers, your fasting, and your alms have been heard. They have been heard and answered. And so what he does is he gets an instruction, and the instruction that he receives is to send some emissaries to go get Peter and for Peter to come and to speak to him. And you may recall that at this time Peter is at Simon the Tanner's house, and Peter has this vision about all these animals that are coming down from the sky, and he hears the word to kill and eat, and Peter says, I've never had anything unclean at all. And this happens three times, and the voice says, don't call anything unclean that I have created. And so what happens is Peter all of a sudden is beginning to try to figure out what this is, this vision that he just had, and what these words that he's received, what is this all about? And so at any rate, a knock comes on the door, and these emissaries are sent from Cornelius, and they explain to him what has happened. So Peter goes with them, and they go to where Cornelius is. And so Peter begins to give this speech, and that's what we had today. That's part of what we had today about who this Jesus is, that he has come to anointed with power and the Holy Spirit, doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then the process of Peter giving this testimony of who the Lord is, the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and all of these people. They begin to pray in tongues, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when we think of what it is that the Lord does over and over and over and over again, he recreates and he redeems. He recreates and he redeems. That's all about what the incarnation is. And so when we look at this resurrection, we are reminded of the Lord's promise to continue to ever be with us and for us. And one of the things that the Lord continues to do in our world, in our churches, in our families, in our lives, is to come with power and the Holy Spirit and to heal everyone who is oppressed by the enemy. And right now, we're living in a time where we can look around and feel a high degree of oppression, and maybe we're not feeling that personally. But even with the reports that we're getting about how things may continue to unfold in regards to what's going to be the cost to the world or the cost to the nation as we continue to try to navigate through all of this stuff that's going on in our world to do with this coronavirus. And in the midst of that, we're saying, Lord, where are you in all of this? And at this Feast of the Resurrection, we're reminded he's right in the midst of it. He's right absolutely in the midst of it, because he's all about sending the Holy Spirit and healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil and setting them free to be able to rejoice. And so the promise is that the Lord would say, you will have trouble in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if we are in Christ, the overcomer of the world dwells in us. He's the one who dwells in us, who overcomes. And that's that promise. And so we can look around at all of this and say and trust and know that in the midst of any trouble, he's the one who will overcome it, because we're in him. And we're told in Colossians, don't you realize that you've died? If you have come to Christ, you have died. If you haven't come to Christ, you haven't died. But if you've come to Christ, you have died, and your life is now hidden in him. And if your life is now hidden in him, his promises are all yes and amen. And his promises are all about our deliverance. And so as we go back to that Isaiah reading from Isaiah 52:13 to 53:12, about how it is that the Lord takes upon all of our griefs and our sorrows. And that very theme is repeated in Psalm 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let everything within me bless his holy name, who heals all of our diseases, who forgives all of our iniquities. That's what he does over and over. And so I just want to end by saying something about spirituality, in particular when it comes to receiving the Eucharist. There's not a, and I realize we're a very small group, but there's not a one of us that doesn't realize that online spirituality has its limitations. It just does. It has its limitations. And especially if we're not only part of a communion that values the gifts, the charismatic gifts, the prophetic, but we're also of a communion that values the liturgical, historical, sacramental stream of the church. And that's something you can't do online. It's something that has to be done that is you're present to. Because the Eucharist is created for a particular people in a particular point in time of a gathering. And that's not to take anything away from the online spirituality, that it doesn't have its value, because it does. But we recognize its limitations. And so the Eucharist is unashamedly physical. Absolutely unashamedly physical. Because the Eucharist, in the Eucharist, is something that you're taking in and you're chewing and you're biting and you're taking in and you're smelling and you're swallowing and you're taking that in and you're recognizing, I'm taking in the very presence of Christ into my being. And that very presence is the one who has risen from the dead, who's conquered death, who forgives our sins, who takes upon us all of our sorrows and our griefs. And St. Ignatius of Antioch, before he was martyred in 107, was the one who coined the phrase that the Eucharist is the antidote for mortality, is the medicine for immortality. The Eucharist is a foretaste and promise of the resurrection, because the Eucharist is the only food that lasts forever. Every other food that exists will ultimately disappear. But the Eucharist is the only one that lasts forever. And the Eucharist is the only food that we take into ourselves that doesn't change into us. If you think about it, anything that we eat or ingest turns into us, not the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we change into it. We're changed into Christ. Glory to glory, glory to glory, glory to glory. And so the Eucharist is a foretaste and a promise of the resurrection, but it's also the medicine of immortality and the antidote for mortality that we take in right now. So at every Eucharist, part of what we give to the Lord, we're always trading up, is if we have griefs or sorrows or anxieties or pains, if we have physical things going on, if we have mental things going on, if we have relational things going on, it's recognizing that heaven touches earth. We're under an open heaven, and we take that body and that blood, and we're receiving it into us with that power to overcome disease, illness, sinfulness, griefs, sorrows. That's the power of the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Okay. The peace of the Lord be with you. Well, we can't really offer one another a sign of peace other than just this.